Good morning, everyone. Well, if you don't have a church Bible, they're at the back. I'm sure if you put your hand up, we'll be happy to deliver some. Our Bible reading today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's on page 1644 of the church Bibles. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many.
Thanks, Joseph. We'll keep the passage open. Isn't it amazing that this letter written nearly 2,000 years ago is still what God uses to speak to us today? And so let's pray that he would. Father God, we thank you that you've preserved this letter for us, and that indeed what you spoke to the Corinthians 2,000 years ago through Paul is still relevant to us. So Lord God, please speak to us through your living and active word this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I mentioned last week, the family and I, we got away for 3 weeks holiday recently, and it was great. We loved getting away. We loved sort of having an adventure. But because we were at the snow, of course, I came down sick at the very end of our sort of period at the snow, which made me a little bit grumpy and sort of tired and feeling sorry for myself on the trip home. Made it slightly less than pleasant. Which I was a little bit disappointed at, because on the way home, we had planned to go to Dubbo Zoo, the Western Plains Zoo there at Dubbo, which we still did. It was awesome. Like, it's a fantastic zoo. If you ever get a chance, it is well worth the trip. But I was pretty grumpy that day, which is a little bit sad, because I hope I didn't spoil it too much for the kids, just with my own mood. I think the problem was I was just feeling sorry for myself. I get a little bit sort of introverted. I just sort of inward focused when I get sick. Now, maybe I'm not alone in that. Maybe that's your experience of sickness too. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's a lot of that going around at the moment. On top of COVID, we've got a lot of flus and a lot of colds just kicking around. And so maybe I'm not alone in feeling a bit miserable. I've still got this little bit of a cough and this little bit of a runny nose that just doesn't seem to want to go away. This sort of thing is actually pretty common in our fallen world. And now I know there's much worse things than a flu. Many of you have probably faced them. I mean, there's relationship breakdown, there's chronic illness, death of a loved one, being overworked by your boss, mental health struggles, financial struggles. There's all sorts of things that we can face in life that are awful, that create a sense of suffering in us. But I want to ask the question, does being a Christian actually make a difference there? Does being in a relationship with God the Creator change things for us as Christians? Well, I think this is what Paul wants us to think about this morning in this passage. Because you see, Paul himself, he was going through awful suffering as he writes this letter. But in today's passage, he tells us where he's found comfort and strength in the midst of his suffering. Where he finds the ability to persevere. And so let's jump into this first part of 2 Corinthians and find out where Paul finds that comfort and strength. Because maybe we might find it as well. So let's jump in. Well, the first thing we see is that Paul finds comfort in God. Because God is the God of all comfort. He delights to comfort his people. It just flows naturally out of who he is. Let's pick it up from verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. Now, there's been a bit of a relational falling out between Paul and the Corinthians, between the letter of 1 Corinthians that we have in the Bible and this letter that he writes. And so at the very outset, he wants to remind them of what their God is like. So even if they face pain as a result of this relationship and as a result of this contact with Paul, they might know where to turn to in their pain. Paul says that he's the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. Now just think about that. He's the Father of compassion. He's the originator of compassion. Compassion wouldn't exist without God. And more than that, he's the God of all comfort. All comfort. Any comfort you've ever received from any source finds its ultimate origin in God himself. This is what our God is like, Paul reminds us. And the comfort that God gives has a tendency to overflow from us to those around us. In fact, that's part of its very purpose. Like a cascading waterfall, he delights to comfort us so that it would actually fill us and then overflow so that we might comfort others. How beautiful is this picture that Paul is painting here of what our God is like? He delights to comfort you and I when we suffer. And that comfort is often so extravagant that it overflows. And of course, this is all only possible and centers on Christ. We see this in verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. What Paul's saying here is that for the believer, the person who's put their faith in Christ, they've been joined to him eternally. His experiences become their experiences. For those who've been joined to Christ, in one sense, they share in his death. Which is good news for believers because that's what brings us forgiveness. That's what brings a death to sin ultimately. But more than sharing in his suffering and death, we actually get to share in his resurrection, which signals victory over everything that would cause suffering in this world: Satan, sin, and death. But even more than that, being joined to Christ means that we're joined with his Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. We have access to this God. And Paul knows this. Paul knows that God delights to comfort his people. He knows that this is what his God is like, which is why he's actually willing to face suffering himself in order for the Corinthians to come to know this God and actually experience the salvation and experience the comfort that he offers. This is what he wants for the Corinthians. Because he knows that even if he faces persecution, even if he faces suffering, bringing that message to them, it'll end up for their good. But he also knows in the midst of his own suffering, God comforts. And so as the Corinthians sees that he himself is comforted, that also ends up being for their comfort too.
It actually just confirms the message. This is why he's able to say in verse 6, if we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort. And why he's so confident in verse 7, by saying our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort. Paul wants the Corinthians to know that he himself is committed to seeing them comforted in the gospel. But more than that, he wants to see that behind that stands a God of all comfort, who delights to comfort his people. In my better moments, I hope to do this with my kids. Last Sunday, we went to the park near our house. It's great. We regularly like to do that. I decided to ride my bike and Alex balanced bike next to me. Sammy decided to run and Maddie went on her scooter, so we took all different forms of transport. It was great. But on the way home, as we were sort of just rounding the corner to our street, Sammy and Maddie decided to have a bit of a race. We were literally 100 metres from home at this point, maybe less. And so they're racing along and Maddie gets a bit of the speed wobbles and hits the deck. I was a little bit in front of her, but I heard the scream, the crying. She'd hit her head. She had gravel rash on her knee and on her elbow. Now, as her father, what do I do at that point? Do I scold her for being clumsy? No, of course not. I ran to her and I pick her up, wrap my arms around her, start stroking her hair. There in the middle of the street, I did my best to try and comfort her. This is how our Heavenly Father responds to you and I in our suffering. He delights to offer comfort to his sons and daughters. That's the most natural thing in the world for him. It just flows out of his character. And this is what Paul wants you and I to know from this passage. And he wants us to know this because the reality is, for Christians, we're not immune to suffering in this world. We will one day, but until then, it's just part of the reality of life in a fallen world. Many of you are all too painfully aware of that, I suspect. But when we go through suffering, I've noticed that there's two different responses that Christians can often have to God. One response is, I see people actually draw near to God. They know that this is what God's like, and so they come to him, they cry out to him, and they experience this comfort that he delights to give. And their suffering actually breeds in them a deeper appreciation and love for their Heavenly Father. But I do see another situation. I have observed that there are other Christians whose suffering can lead to bitterness, where it seems to breed this coldness in their relationship with God as they sort of, in their hearts, they probably don't say this out loud, but in their hearts they sort of feel like God's being unfair to them. Sometimes they walk away from God. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they keep coming along to church stuff. But you just see this coldness, this lack of joy. And as I've thought about it, I wonder if the difference between these two outcomes of suffering is what people view God like in the midst of their suffering, what they think about God in the midst of it. Do they think about God as being this sort of cold, standoffish, aloof, just sort of coldly observing them? Oh, okay, I'll see how they react to that. Or do they see God as a God of all comfort, who actually sees their suffering and is grieved by it and wants to enter in and comfort them in the midst of it? How they view God changes radically the outcome of what their suffering brings. Which of these do you feel like you naturally gravitate toward? If you have a tendency to thinking about God as being aloof in the midst of your suffering, please hear what Paul is saying. God doesn't comfort us grudgingly. No, he delights to comfort his people. in whatever they're facing. He's the Father of compassion, Paul says. So don't keep your distance. Actually go to him. Let him wrap his arms of comfort around you. Let him comfort you with his very presence in the midst of your suffering. Maybe this is what I should have done instead of feeling sorry for myself with my cold. Maybe that would actually have been helpful for my kids who were also sick at the time. Maybe I could have been a source of God's comfort to them. Maybe you can too. But as we keep reading, we discover that Paul doesn't just go to God for comfort. He's actually learned to rely on God's strength too in the midst of his suffering. We see this in the second half from verse 8. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we'd received the sentence of death. Paul's suffering wasn't just some light suffering like my cold. Look at what Paul says. We despaired of life itself. We felt like we'd received the sentence of death. Now, we don't know specifically what Paul was facing when he wrote 2 Corinthians. It's pretty likely that he was facing some sort of significant persecution for preaching the gospel. If you read Acts, or if you listen to the kids talk, you will have heard that Paul faced all sorts of stuff. He was stoned, he was flogged, he was imprisoned, he was shipwrecked. Maybe it was one of those things. But regardless of what it was beyond Paul's ability to cope with. But Paul says that was actually part of God's providential plan for him. I don't know if you noticed that. Have a look at the second half of verse 9. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. It seems God in his sovereignty allowed Paul's circumstances to come to him, to bring him to an end of his own resources, to actually teach him to rely on God and not himself. And God showed that he could be relied upon. In verse 10, he goes on to say, he's delivered us from such a deadly peril and he will deliver us again. On him we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Through his suffering, Paul 100% learned that he could rely on God's strength. He could rely on his resources, not his own. Even when his was spent, God could be relied upon. He was even confident that he would continue to deliver him. Now, on a side note, I suspect Paul's confidence there was probably tied to his apostolic mission. After all, God had given him a job to do, to preach to the Gentiles, and it wasn't done yet. So he was confident that God was going to enable him to keep doing that mission until it was done. And so for us, we might not be able to say that God will deliver us with the same degree of confidence that Paul does here. But I think we can and should definitely pray that he does. And like Paul, I think we should invite others to pray that he does too. Knowing that even if we aren't delivered from a specific situation, our ultimate delivery in the resurrection is 100% secured. After all, he is the God who raises the dead. Paul's suffering turned out to be a good teacher for him. It taught him to rely on God rather than his own strength. That's actually a beautiful lesson. He learned that God could be relied upon. You know what? I actually experienced a similar thing in my own life. Only persecution wasn't the thing that taught me this. I think what taught me this is actually my own mental health struggles. Now, I don't know if you know this. I've got sort of mild to moderate depression. Don't worry, I've got some really good support around me. I see a psych. I've got some good things to manage that. But it's enough that my mental and emotional reserves are quite compromised. And I just don't have the same capacity as some other people. But one of the things I've noticed that for me personally, to function like a normal person, I have to be feeding myself on God's word. I actually have to be relying on Him, going to Him in prayer, drawing strength from Him. Because when I find those spiritual disciplines faltering, I think it becomes painfully obvious to those around me. Because at that point, I start to rely on my own reserves, and I've learned that I am not very reliable. I often find myself hitting a wall, becoming overwhelmed. I cease to be able to function properly. And so while depression is just something I have to deal with, like Paul, it's taught me that I can 100% rely on God. He's actually strong enough to hold me in the midst of my own personal weakness and struggles. And you know what? As I've learned to rely on Him more, it's actually bred a deeper intimacy and a deeper love and a deeper closeness with Him. And for that, I wouldn't trade even the best mental health. So in some ways, I'm actually really thankful to God for my depression, for what it's taught me about Him and the closeness that it's actually bred in my relationship with Him. Have you learned that? If you're going through suffering of any kind, can I encourage you, let it show you how reliable God is. Let it actually teach you to come to Him and rely on Him. Look to Him for strength, not your own resources. He's sufficient for you in whatever situation you find yourself. Even if you reach an end of your own resources, you'll never reach an end of His. One of the ways that we actually express this is by asking others to pray for us. And that's what Paul does. I mean, think about it. Even the Apostle Paul wasn't above admitting that he needed others to pray for him. He knew he needed God's strength, and so he asked others to pray for it for him. So if you're going through something right now, can I encourage you, ask others to pray for you. But if you're not going through suffering at the moment, if sort of life's just going swimmingly for you, maybe God's calling you to be the one to pray for those who are going through stuff. There are those that we pray for every week at church. We just prayed for them before. There's a whole litany of names there. And it sometimes can feel like, oh, we're just sort of going through the motions. We can rattle through them quite quickly. But each of these brothers and sisters, they've recognized their need for God's help, just like Paul did. And they're trying to rely on Him for their resources. And so keep praying for them. Because you know what? God delights to use your prayers to strengthen them. You know, it's really hard to keep holding on to God's promises, particularly the longer that suffering goes on for. And so the longer they're actually on the list, the more they need your prayer for them. So keep praying for them. Keep praying for those around you. Keep praying for those in your Bible study. And so the question we asked at the beginning, does being a Christian make a difference in suffering? It doesn't make us immune to suffering. But how beautiful is it that in the midst of it, we have a God who delights to draw near to us, who delights to comfort us in our suffering, and who can actually teach us in the midst of it to rely on Him. Because He is 100% trustworthy. He can be relied upon. And so why don't we close by praying that we would know this great God. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You that You are a God of all comfort. Thank You that You delight to comfort us. And thank You that You delight to use us to comfort those around us. And so we pray that we would. For those of us who are going through stuff, help us not rely on ourselves. Help us instead to rely on You. I thank You that You can be relied upon. So please keep working that truth deeper and deeper into our hearts and minds. that we would rely on you not only in our suffering, but in our everyday life. And so we pray these things for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.